So it's clear that we need to cut down how much sugar we eat, as Giles, Ian and Jimmy have all argued. But how do we do it? Public Health England say we should tax sugary foodstuffs. David Cameron says we shouldn't. What actual evidence, if any, is there to suggest that this would work? We're joined now by Anthony Laverty. He's a research fellow that specialises in public health. First off, what is this sugar tax that Public Health England are proposing?
Public Health England, PHE, they haven't sort of specifically gone through the sort of policy details of this is what our tax would look like, this is what we need specifically. They've said we could have a 10 to 20% tax on sugary foods, and they sort of say in bold, this could include sugary drinks, but they haven't sort of said this is what you need specifically. So, you know, we don't really have the detail of the kind of the policy on the table as such.
So sort of an, have we thought about this kind of thing?
Yeah, so they sort of say the available evidence says this would work, but they haven't said specifically this is kind of how you should design it and this is what we expect to see.
And this is obviously really controversial because the idea of taxing something like sugary drinks and food has seemed to have got people's backs up. What are the key arguments on both sides?
The key arguments really about why, you know, why it would work is it just says you kind of make this simple causal chain that says things will be more expensive, that price will be passed on to the consumer, people will buy fewer of them, there'll be fewer calories, less sugar, and we'll have this kind of knock-on nice impact on their health.
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner. And so the arguments against it are, well, we don't really know that the prices will be passed on to consumers. You know, maybe the supermarkets, say, will just absorb that. Although the evidence says that that seems unlikely to happen. A lot of it kind of revolves around this sort of free market, free choice
idea. There's an ideological thing, isn't there? That, you know, this shouldn't.
Yeah. So people should be able to go out there and, like, you know, buy as much sugar as they like.
So has this actually been trialled in any countries?
So a few places have tried different things. So Mexico, most famously, so they sort of have this tax on sugary drinks. So Mexico is sort of 1 peso per litre. So you're talking about quite small amounts, which is kind of where, again, there's some uncertainty. So some people say unless you're going to tax at around about a 20% level on, like, the sugar in drinks, you're not really going to see a big impact. And so Berkeley in California, so they have this sort of 1 cent per ounce of sugar. Again, the, you know, it's early stages for the kind of implementation of the policy. So the evidence there says the prices are passed on to consumers, but we don't really know very specifically, you know, are people buying fewer of them and consuming less calories?
And there are things that we heavily tax in the UK that could be considered to be unhealthy vices. I'm thinking obviously of sort of booze and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Does that seem to work? You know, a huge proportion of the price of a packet of cigarettes is now taxed.
Yeah, so taxing cigarettes sort of definitely works. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find people that disagree with that. But the other thing is, so certainly on tobacco, you know, taxes are the big one that are effective. But over about 20 years, you know, we worked on kind of the affordability of tobacco. We worked on the accessibility, so you can buy it in fewer places. And we worked on the kind of acceptability. So, you know, there's these public campaigns about how it's particularly bad for you. And so similarly with sugar, you know, you would see impacts from the tax. But also, you know, if you want to see some large impacts, you're going to have to consider intervening at other places.
Maybe trying to get rid of that wall of chocolate in service stations. I find that so tempting.
Yeah. And so, you know, certain places have said we're going to get rid of that, but sort of limited action, I would say, on that so far.
Thank you very much. That's Anthony Laverty from Imperial College London. So, Chris, how are you getting on with your sugar test? How are you doing with those apples?
I've managed to complete one apple so far. Giles, how are you getting on with your glass of juice?
It is finished. It's gone.
Wow. So Giles has done a whole half pint of apple juice. That was just because it's nice, right? Not because you were forcing it down.
That's right.
Yeah, and so I've managed one apple, which is precisely 1/7 of the number of calories that Giles has consumed. And that's the important point here, isn't it, Giles? That we're basically taking in a lot fewer calories if I eat the apple than if you neck down a half a pint of...
Correct. So sugar in itself is not bad, but how much of it you have, that's the problem.
Well, there you go. So turn to the apples rather than the fruit juice in future.
Thank you to Giles Yeo for that wonderful demo, and thanks to all our other studio guests this week, Anthony Laverty, Jimmy Steele and Ian Young.